like the Lord quickened something to me this morning, and so, and I said, this is definitely for me. And so when I got here, I was wondering if I should get up, but because I wasn't feeling like I wanted to, I didn't. But even with what Reed finished with, it made me say, well, I just need to give this out by faith. And it has to do with the story in Numbers, you know, where they were in the wilderness and they reached the point after a month or so, they were right at the doors of the promised land. And so they sent spies out to look at what it looked like, and they came back. And 10 of them, well, Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to take the land. Y'all know that, don't you? We can do this. I mean, this is, and they were emphatic about it. Well, the others, I think it was 10 of them, said, nope, there's giants there. They will tear us apart. They got a better strategic position. So they told that to all the people, and all the people believed that the other 10 spies, rather than Joshua and Caleb. They wept all night long. The next day, they began pointing fingers at Moses and Aaron, saying, well, we should have stayed in Egypt. And so then became the great intercessory prayer for Moses, because our God is a God of love, but he also has emotion, and he was angry with them. But it ended up that the Lord God relented, and he forgave the people, but for the next 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, and they did not enter the promised land. So you fast forward to the New Testament, Corinthians says, what happened then was written for admonition and encouragement. And we all face giants. I thought of the song, a couple of songs. One, The Voice of Truth, is, I think Brian got up and mentioned the words, but it talks about, oh, that I would have the faith to face the giant with just a sling and a little stone. But the giant's laughing at me. And we face that, don't we? We come here, I come here, and it's like the journey we're in is it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And here, when we sing these songs of faith and encouragement, it is awesome to be here, the presence of God. But the marathon ensues when Monday comes, and Wednesday and Thursday. And we face the very same things those people did in the wilderness when they see the actuality of what they see, and then they know what faith should respond to do, and they have a choice. They had a choice. Does this make sense? Because this is real time in America today, folks. It's real time for every Christian to refuse to believe what the giants are saying and go by what the voice of truth, God says to us, his living word. It makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. And I know this, there's faith in every believer here. And it comes just a simple matter of stepping out and saying, God, I literally believe you. The thing that God was most displeased with those people in the wilderness, they did murmur and complain. They found fault. They were pointing fingers, but they just didn't believe him. They just didn't believe what he said. God is telling me and us so much rich truth. And I believe as we go to get honest with him in prayer and talk to him, just like we're talking one to another, Lord, I see this, but I really, when I get out there and I see what's happening and people I'm praying for and prayers that aren't being answered, it's tough. It's tough many times to persevere and know that you're taking me to the other side. You're going to fulfill what you said in my life. You know, the Lord loves us being honest with him and then hearing him, and he's able to help us by his Holy Spirit to be clothed with him. So this is what I wanted to share. I mean, I know my week's going to ensue, and we've got a God who loves us. He has a perfect plan for our lives. He's taken us to the other side. What we've been hearing lately about being a testimony in this life, living for others, man, I want to see that, don't y'all? And being able to connect with him in prayer, that we have a passion and a love to do that, to go to him and cast our cares upon him. But I guess what I want to say this morning is, let's believe our God. That sounds simple. You've heard it before. Does it count here? Yeah, it does. But it's really going to count as life happens. And it's just like Abraham. You talk about a perfect example of someone God promised something to, and was it 25 years later he received it? The Bible says he was strong in faith and gave glory to God. However, he did go to plan B. But God saw the faith in him. So let's persevere and take him at his word.
Praise God. I too were up here by faith this morning. I don't know, I just felt in my heart and through my journey this week that, you know, we just need encouragement to keep pressing on. I don't know about y'all, but I've had a battle this week. And it may not be from things that we can see from the outside, but just internal battles. You know, because we have someone that wants to shipwreck our faith. The enemy wants us to doubt what God's going to do for us individually, as a body, as globally as God's church. But if you're battling today, that's a good sign. That's because there is something alive in you going against the tide of this world. And that was something that encouraged me this week, because I can get very discouraged. And, man, it takes faith to latch on to what Joel was talking about, the Word of God. It takes getting this old man out of the way, because he does not, he is still attached to this earth. You grab that ground down there and hold it in your hands, we are a lot more attached to this than we want to think we are. And it takes the life of Christ in us as born-again Christians to lay hold of it and go the opposite direction. So I had this scripture come to me this morning while I was, well, it's maybe been on my heart all week. And it says, "Dear friends," this is in Jude, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Dear friends, although I was eager, very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once all entrusted to the saints." And I'll tell you what, I have had to contend this week and hold on. But the good thing is, it's not about my ability to hold on to Christ. He is holding on to us. You know, but there is an obligation we have. We have got to stop. Y'all remember that service we had about those stations, the Brother Jim Cimbala? Man, I'm finding that I have got to be at those stations every single day. If it passes, if I pass one by, tire blows out. But praise God. You know what? As we lay hold of God's word, I want to read one more thing here, maybe two more. But this is in James. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now that is completely opposite to the flesh, isn't it? Because I tell you what, man, we walk out in this world, every time you talk to somebody, it's like, oh my gosh, man. You know, Lord, help us. Help us to be able to consider it pure joy, no matter if we're facing a physical, something that is literally physically touching us, or if it's a mental battle, a spiritual battle, whatever it is. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you through that battle. He says, "Because you know," and this is where Christ comes in. He says, "You know that the testing of your faith," which, let me ask you this, who authored the faith in your life? That is Jesus Christ, right? Well, praise God for that, because his faith, it failed not. And guess what? The faith that he has given us is not going to fail. He says, "Of your faith develops perseverance." We don't like that. We don't like to keep going against the tide. If we're in an inner tube, and we like to go downriver. If you've ever tried to paddle upriver, no fun. But he says, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And this goes right into prayer. It says that if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Do you know, because of the blood of Christ, he does not find fault in us? It is good to remind ourselves of that, because we fail in many ways, but he does not see fault in us. If we have put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, he has found no fault in us. Those faults have been cast as far as the east is from the west. And it says, "Who gives generously without finding fault, asking it will be given to you. But let's not doubt God." It goes in there to say that. And I'm going to, one more scripture here. This was Paul. And Joel said there, we are in a race. It's a marathon. And it said, this is in 1 Corinthians 9 here. And these are nothing new, but I said, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run?" I'll tell you what, we're all running a race today. But only one gets the prize. "Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last." But here we go. This is encouraging right here. "But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. Like we have a purpose. God has given us a purpose. You know, everybody else that does not know Christ has no purpose. They're running aimlessly through the world, but we have a purpose. God, help us to see that purpose in our lives. I do not fight like a man beating the air. And this is what stuck out to me. And I know there's different translations, but it says, no, I beat my body. Because I tell you what, man, this old man, he fights serving the Lord tooth and nail. Not only do we have forces on the outside that are always continually telling us, doubting God, whatever, there are arrows, there are thoughts coming in. He says, no, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. But I just felt encouraged this morning. I needed to encourage myself. This wasn't for anybody else, but if I tell you what, if you're serving the Lord and you're walking with Him, we're going through battles. Lord, help us to take on the full armor of God. That was one other thought I had, too. We need it in this hour we're standing in. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have the benediction. That was wonderful. I appreciate it. It's very much thoughts that I have had have been very much along that line. You know, last week, I'll have to admit, my emotions got up there. It was a service where the Lord was encouraging us to really stand fast in prayer and that He was faithful and He wanted to use us. And it's awfully easy to kind of take hold of that and say, man, I got it now. I'm on the firing line and the Lord's with me and we're up here. But I think we all understand, if we've walked with the Lord any amount of time at all, that's not a picture of the Christian life, just always being up here. That the Lord is the one who arranges our pathway, and it goes in many places, and many of them are difficult and challenging places we'd rather not go. And I've had a similar week where it's been one thing or another, and just had to say, well, Lord, I need your help. Lord, why is this happening? Why am I facing this again? And on and on and on. And you know, the Lord is having to remind me, you know, I'm not there yet. You know, I can bring you to a place and encourage you with my word and just fill you with confidence because you're going to need it. You know, my mind went to several things. One of them was back to Pilgrim's Progress. I need to read that again. It's been a while. But most of you, are at least heard of it, and you know it was written as an allegory picturing the Christian life, the journey from, you know, the place of sin and destruction to the celestial city, to heaven. And it's a tremendous work if you haven't gone through it. But anyway, a man named Christian is convicted of his sin and brought to the way to the celestial city, and he learns about it. He's brought to the cross. All that goes before that, he has to learn about his need and about the solution to his need, and then he's brought to the foot of the cross, and he's been carrying this terrible burden, and the burden rolls away. Thank God, aren't you glad there's a place where God has fixed it to where our burdens can be let go of? And he found that place. Well, guess where the path led from there? Anybody remember the hill difficulty? And all of a sudden, he is struggling, and he's going up, and he's waiting, and he gets off course, and he forgets this and has to go back. And anyway, he's just totally worn out. And he gets to the top, and it's nighttime. And he sees this large building called the Palace Beautiful, and it looks wonderful, but there are two lions there that he has to pass between. And, you know, one thing after another challenges him, and he's there, and oh, my God, he has to finally realize, hey, I can get in there, and that's where the Lord wants me to go. And the Lord brought him to a place that you could certainly say was a mountaintop. And he spent a period of time there learning more things about the Lord, learning what he was going to be facing down the road, and lots of ministry of encouragement and information that he was going to need, just getting him ready. And then one of the things, you know, the armor was mentioned. One of the things that happened before he left this palace was that they fitted him out with armor and got him ready for the journey. He said, all right, now set out. Well, guess where the pathway led from there? He didn't just jump to the next mountain. Oh, yeah, one of the things that happened while he was there, they kind of took him to a high place and gave him, I don't know if they gave him magnifying glass or something, whether they even had that in those days, but whatever it was, do you see that way off there? There's some beautiful mountains, and your path's going to lead through that. And one day the Lord's going to take you there, and you're going to learn some things, and there's some shepherds there that'll help you and encourage you. But the journey that he took went immediately down to the bottom of the mountain. And it was called the Valley of Humiliation. And he faced a terrible enemy when he got there. Do you know who that enemy was? You know, we can talk about problems out there, like Joseph was facing the prospect of meeting his brother. Daniel was thinking about a prophecy for the whole nation, and he sought God, and there's a place for all of that. But do you know what God's biggest problem with us is? Us, exactly. And so Christian got down into the bottom of the valley, and he met this terrible enemy, and there was a knockdown, drag-out sword fight. It seems like I remember at one point he was knocked down and wounded, and somehow he hung on and prevailed. And the enemy finally had to leave. Do you know who the enemy was? Anybody remember enough about the story to remember what this enemy was? Was it the devil? It was self. See, God's first job with every one of us is delivering us from ourselves. We are his greatest hindrance. And it's awfully easy for us to come to a place where, okay, I'm good now. I've learned the right stuff. I know how to act. I know what to do, what to believe. So bring it on. We're ready for the fight. Are we? I tell you, after being on the mountain, I think in many ways last weekend, I went right down into the valley like so many. I don't think I'm the only one, obviously. But the Lord had to remind me what this is really about. And I did think, I just trust the Lord is in the thoughts that I have had. But anyway, I went to Romans 5. I kept going back to that. Romans 5, and the first 8 chapters particularly of Romans, Paul is really taking you through the gospel step by step. What is it really about? And of course, he reminds us in the beginning that everybody has sinned. And he says the problem is twofold. You don't quite get this as clearly in the King James language, although it's accurate. But it's this. We have sinned. All have sinned. That's looking back to the past. And I've got a record. I've got a rap sheet. I have no way to deal with that. Doesn't matter what I do from here on out. I've got a rap sheet. I'm guilty. But that's not the whole of it. All have sinned and all fall short or come short of what? The glory of God. God has a purpose to bring a people all the way to a place where there is no taint of sin. He who is light is going to share his life with a people to the point where there will be nothing left but light. We will be glorious, bright, shining, pure beings. He's got a job on his hands. Anybody there yet? See, that's the thing that God is seeking. He's done away with our sin. And so the first 4 chapters, Paul is laying out the problem, and then he's talking about, okay, how do we even get into this kingdom? How do we even establish a relationship with such a holy God? And we find out Jesus paid it all. Thank God that he satisfied the justice of God by stepping forth and taking the blame for my sin. I plead guilty. Punish me. And he did. Thank God. And so not by trying to advance myself and establish my own righteousness in God's eyes, I lay it all down and I say, I am exactly what you say I am. My faith is 100% in him. Praise God. And that's what everybody has to come to before you're even in the door. Okay, so he comes to the end of chapter 4, and now he's established how we get in the door of the kingdom. And so the question really that you could answer is, okay, now what? Where's he going with this? What's it all about? Am I just in the door and going to heaven someday, and that's it? You know, there's nothing I'm probably going to say this morning we haven't heard, but I need this week. I needed to be reminded of some of these things. But anyway, So Paul begins, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, made righteous, that is, justified, through faith, not through our efforts, we have what? What's the result of that? We have peace with God. Later on in this chapter, he talks about how we were enemies. Well, that's gone away. Now we're at peace with him. We have changed sides. We are totally aligned with God. There is a peace, a state of peace between me and God. What an awesome thing to come to that place and sense that in your heart and your life. I'm thankful for times when he allows us to sense things. Of course, the thing is, we need to learn to serve him whether we have a feeling or a sense like that or not. But anyway, all right, so now that's happened. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, always pointing back to him, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Boy, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? You know, access, what does that mean? Well, everybody that's here this morning, you gained access to this building by doing what? You walked through a door. There was a door that opened up and allowed you to come in, and therefore you're here. Simple stuff. But there is a door into the kingdom, and we can open it because Jesus Christ has opened it. We can walk through that door, and it brings us into a place that matters. Praise God. It's a place called grace. Grace is not for people who deserve it. Grace is God showing his favor to us. But it's more than that, as we said many times. It's God's power. It's a place where God is actively at work to accomplish something. I need his power every step of the way. It's not like, okay, I got you in, now work it out. He has absolutely brought me to a place where I have everything that I need in him. It's grace. Always is a place where I can find divine help for every need. Anybody needed divine help this week? Yeah. Give it two hands. If I had more, I'd raise them too. But praise God. All right? So now he uses the word stand. How do I stand? How do I avoid just falling down and giving up? What is it that enables me to stand in the Lord? I've got to constantly get help from him. I've got to realize where my help comes from. He never is going to bring me to a place where I can look inside and say, I finally got there. I'm good now. Oh, my. If there's anybody who has any part, that even begins to penetrate your thinking. Lord, God's got some work to do, doesn't he? God's got some serious work to do. And we all fall in that category more than we would like to think. We think we're good people. We think we're okay. We don't have any idea what we're really, really like on the inside, but there's a God who does. And he's not sitting there just, what's the matter with you, straighten up and fly right. He's saying, I got work to do on them. Okay? All right? So now this place of grace brings us to a place where we have what he calls the hope. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now, I can't boast because of me. I can sure boast because of him. But here he begins to point to a goal, the glory of God. Remember, he said earlier, we fall short of the glory of God. We can't possibly be what he designed us to be in the beginning. So God is saying, I brought you into a place where now my power is your resource to get to where I want you to go, and that's the glory of God. And we can sit there and say, I have a hope that that's actually going to happen. I can't possibly look in the mirror and find any reason to believe that, but he has opened the door and brought me to a place where he's actively at work to make that happen. Praise God. You remember how Jesus, there was one of his parables where he talked about, he pictured the world as a field where you grow something. And he said there's two kinds of things growing here in this world. One is a bunch of weeds that Satan has planted, and another is all of the wheat that God has planted, okay? And there's going to be a harvest at the end of the world, and the one is going to be thrown into the fire. The other is going to be brought into his, gathered into his harvest, whatever, I forget the language exactly, Matthew 13, if you want to look it up. But then he says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. man, when I get up on Monday morning and look in the mirror, it's hard for me to, seriously? You mean me? So here's the Lord saying, all right, that's where we're going. I'm planting a hope, an expectation, not just a wish, but a confident expectation that is based upon my power, my grace, my work, that that's where you're going to wind up. Okay? So that's the journey that every one of us is on. All right? Again, what did Christian have to face after he got the armor? What was his first enemy? Self. Folks, that's our biggest enemy. God can help us face the giants, but this is the biggest giant I got. He absolutely will stand in the way, and I will ignore it, pretend it isn't there, do everything under the sun to sort of imagine that I'm okay. Nobody else would ever have this issue, I understand. In case you run into somebody, you'll know what to tell them. So anyway, so now we're in a place where we're glorying in the hope of that we have of the glory of God, okay? Then we have to boast about something else, though, that's been mentioned this morning. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Now, that's translated tribulation in other places. But the root word, the root meaning of the Greek word is pressure. Anybody felt any pressure this week? You're wanting to serve the Lord, but there's headwinds coming. There's pressure, and it's coming from outside, but the biggest pressure I have is the one that's coming from in here. And I discover, hey, I'm not as far along as I thought I was. And maybe, just maybe, I need the Lord. So how does God deal with that? And you see the progression of what happens here. It says we glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Patience is another way that's translated, and it has both connotations. It means you keep going and you wait as long as you have to, because there's no turning around. That's the only way to go. You just keep going. I need strength to do that. It's awful easy just to... And how easy is it when you've been on a mountain to slide down that mountain, and next thing you know, you're trying to look for a place to coast? Anybody ever do that? You know, there's a lot of false pictures of the Christian life where there ought to be a place where we just soar above the clouds. We soar like eagles. And if you're not there, something is wrong. You should just be up here all the time, all your troubles, all your problems. That's not the Christian life. God is going to deliberately put us in places of where we're down in the valley. And we need the Lord. And we're seeing a picture in here why that's to happen. It says we glory in our sufferings, the pressures we encounter, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, I know I'm talking to a bunch of characters today. But you know what character is? Character is what we really are. You know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Character is formed by the choices we learn to make in life. As we grow up, we imitate somebody else and how they react in a certain situation to a certain person. We learn how to navigate life, and it forms what we call our character. And some people are just naturally angry. Some are naturally deceitful, hateful, selfish. You name it. It all comes from where? Comes from human nature. It comes from the fall. It comes from sin. And when the Lord saves you and me, He brings us from that background. That's what our character is. He's got some work to do. It's not just, okay, you're in the door, now you're going to heaven one day. Thank God that's true. But boy, while we're here, as long as we are in this world, He's going to use this world to get us ready for that. And to begin to make changes. And the only way it happens is by this. We're going to have to go through pressure and face it. But here's the thing that really stood out to me. Again, we can imagine that we're a certain place and we've licked that and licked this and we're good. And We've learned a lot of things about the Lord. And the Lord's looking down and saying, you're not as far along as you think you are. You're still motivated far too much by the old nature, the way you act and react. And all I have to do is allow the right thing to happen, and you're going to find out. And one of the biggest things that I have to contend with is not the giants out there, it's the ones in here that I don't want to even admit they're there, for one thing. But what happens when I get in a situation and I feel my weakness and I don't really handle it very well? We got quiet. What do we do then? That's one of the most discouraging things that a Christian can go through. You know, we've used Peter as an example so many times, but think what the Lord had to do to Peter. He had to show him what he was truly made of when Peter didn't realize it. But when he did it, he prayed for him. He brought him through. He said what was going to happen afterwards. I'm going to make you somebody that I can use. You're going to be able to encourage your brothers. I see God giving us a vision of, in a sense, of who we are and what we can do in the Lord and what he wants us to be able to do in the Lord. And what I need and what all of us need is for the Lord to take us through the valleys until we can face the needs that there are in our life and learn not just to, well, be upset about it, not to be discouraged, not to give up, not to be mad at God. It's interesting, the sermon or the message that is on the TV broadcast this morning was, are you mad at God? And frankly, there are times when the Lord shines a light on me when I'm not real happy about it. I'm just being honest this morning. Nobody, anybody here ever? Yeah. Lord, that's not true. I've gotten past that. Lord, why are you doing this? I'm discouraged. Why do I have to go through this? And the Lord, in his love and his mercy, knows the road that it takes to get to the end of the journey. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you, we've got a God who knows what he's doing, don't we? Wouldn't it be good if we learned to trust him and humble ourselves? You know, we sang the song this morning about the potter. The pot doesn't know what to do. The pot needs the potter who knows how to shape that pot to be what it needs to be. I need the Lord. I cannot trust what I am in myself and what I think I am and what I think I can do and all of this. The Lord's going to put his finger and shine a light through this circumstance or that one that will remind me, hey, do you see where that thought came from? Do you see where that action, that reaction came from? Was that me? Or was that you? Now, what do? We get mad at him and say, go away, leave me alone. I'm okay. Or do we say, Lord, help me. Lord, I confess my need. God's design in every situation is to bring us to whatever knowledge of our own need is necessary for him to take us all the way to the end. But it's always to bring us to a place where that turns us to him and say, oh God, I need you. And I believe that you have given everything that I need right now to overcome this. And it's not a matter of getting an answer where suddenly I swoop up into the clouds like an eagle. Sometimes we have to go along and the feelings aren't there. What do you do? Oh, that means God's gone away and left me. He doesn't care. God is going to take us in places where we don't have the feelings. We can't see the end. But real faith says, Lord, you're the one who designed this path to take me, to bring me to a place of freedom from this guy. My character needs to be changed. This isn't about just getting me in the kingdom. I need to be changed. Because remember, the problem is not just what I've done, but what I am. And only you, only Christ in me can be any different than I was. I might learn how to be religious and look good and say the right things, but that's not enough. I need a brand new heart, a brand new life, and that has to be worked in me. Now, you know, we talk about prayer and prevailing prayer, but here's a silly illustration. I think a lot of guys would like to be muscular, right? Like to have muscles. And so what we need to do is pray. Oh, God, I want to be muscular. Lord, give me muscles. Oh, God, give me muscles. We're smart enough to know it doesn't work that way. The only way to have muscles is to have resistance and exercise what we have against that while we are taking in proper nutrition to feed those muscles. And muscles happen. But that doesn't happen overnight. You can't go through a workout and boom, be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It takes time and it takes effort, and it takes the same thing in the kingdom of God. If I'm going to be the kind of person that he can actually shine light through, there's some darkness that's got to go away. And I'm going to have to be willing for him to take me to whatever it takes, whatever experience, where I feel the pressure. I feel my nature wanting to rise up and complain or feel sorry for myself or give in to this or give in to that. Oh, God, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. Lord, help me. I need you. So you see, or Paul had a different attitude because he wasn't seeing things. Well, we sang a song this morning about learning to see through his eyes. I want to see myself through his eyes. If he's taking me a way that I would prefer not, I really don't want to go that way. It's not comfortable. I'm tired. God, can't we get past this? Or can't I at least have some pleasantness here? He says, no, this is where you need to be right now. But I need you to be looking to me. But here's, how do we handle that? I mean, how does someone who has been transformed, truly transformed, where the character has been formed according to his plan, how does somebody like that react to a test and to a valley? Do they complain? Or are they thankful and they say, Lord, thank you. You know what I need. And I'm trusting in you. Oh, God, help me, work in me, do whatever it takes. Lord, not only am I thankful, Lord, thank you. I know where this is going. I know you know what you're doing and you know what I need. And so I'm going to just let you work at it. And I'm going to take my eyes off of how I feel and the way things look. Even when it just goes on and on, like you see in David's Psalms. Oh, how long, Lord? But I'm going to have to just come to a place where my eyes stay fixed on what you're doing and I remember your purpose. Because that's where we're going with this. We also glory in our sufferings, our pressures, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Now, knowing that up here and agreeing with it when it happens can be two different things. And if we struggle to agree, then obviously God, we need it, don't we? We need to experience it, and then what happens, I talked about character being formed by choices that we make. The character he's seeking to produce also comes from choices. When we have the wind in our face, when we're struggling, we do have a choice, don't we? We can react with complaint, with resentment. You would never admit you resented something you knew the Lord was doing? Okay, I won't make you admit it. But we all feel that way, don't we? We have those emotions. We have those doubts. We have those, oh God, here we go again. And he knows what we need. But Lord wants us to make a choice to look to him, to be thankful, to look past it. And when we do that, muscles are going to happen. The kind of muscles I really need. I tell you, God is raising up a people in this hour. Brother Joel talked about the conditions in the world. He's looking for a people who radiate his life. The glory of God needs to shine. But we're the ones in the way. And how does he get us out of the way? He's going to have to take us in those places where we see what the real need is, and we're willing to let it go and say, God, do what you got to do. I'm so thankful the Lord's with us. You know, we sang a little bit with our ensemble this morning just to find out if we could still sing. And I think it was a joy. The Lord helped us. I thought of a song in the last day or two. It's an old country gospel song, The God on the Mountain. And I wish I could remember all the words, but, you know, life's so easy when you're up on the mountain. And everything seems, I can't remember the words, everything seems right. But things change when we're down in the valley. That's when faith is really put to the test. I think that's the end of the second verse. The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. And so far, my brain just shut down. But anyway, when things go wrong, he'll make it right. The God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. I tell you, God's not changing regardless of the circumstances and how we feel and what we see. He is actively at work. If we are in Christ, we're in a place of grace. His power is available to help us right then to be encouraged in him and not to try to work up a feeling and an emotion so we get high again as though that's where I need to be. I got to have an emotional high to make it. I just need a quiet confidence that the Lord is with me right here. He can bring me to that high place, or he can bring me to the peaceful place. He can bring me to wherever I need to be. You know, you read Pilgrim's Progress and you discover there were a lot of nice places he visited. He would stop and stay in someone's home and be encouraged. He was in a peaceful, beautiful area sometimes. And then he was in the valley of the shadow of death. Or he got off track and got in the castle, the doubting castle, held there in prison by a giant. And the Lord brought him out of that, and he and his friend had to go through a town. I can't even remember the name of it now. Anyway, you know, it was a town where people were just totally absorbed with the things of this world. My God, if that's what you're absorbed with, God's got some work to do. Is that what matters to you? Is the latest fad and the latest activity and the latest fun thing, and what's the world, what can we get out of it, and what can we, oh God. We need to let God work on our character. Or you will be a character. But anyway, they came to this town, Vanity Fair it was, and everybody was so absorbed in the things of the world, and boy, they didn't like it when anybody came in and didn't go along with them. And Christian's friend, was it Faithful, wound up being put on trial and put to death. That happens all over the world, folks. There are people being killed every single day for their faith. I want to have the kind of faith that stands. And I need something more than human energy to make that happen. I need God to do whatever it takes to take me up on mountains when I need to be there and down in the valleys when I need to be there. I need him to shine a light in the reality of what's going on in here and have the courage to say, yes, Lord. And not only, yes, Lord, okay, but to really and say, thank you, Lord. I know where this is going. It doesn't feel good. I don't like this in the natural, but Lord, thank you. I humble myself in your hands. What you're showing me is the truth, and I need help. But I know you're the help that I need. Thank the Lord. And just, there are so many other scriptures you could use, but I thought about one. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking about his ministry and the fact that it wasn't just a bunch of laws to keep. It was a ministry of the Spirit. And by that he meant God's Spirit anoints me so that it's not just me doing the talking. That's part of it. That's critical to real ministry. It's got to be God talking. But also, it's a ministry where God's Spirit is literally transmitted to you. If I'm in the valley, I need help. I need sustenance. If my muscles need to grow, I need nutrition. Well, what is it that absolutely feeds my soul is God's Spirit coming in through His Word. I need something that's going to replenish my strength and give me what I need. And so he's talking about those two ministries. And he's talking about the fact that people who have not had their eyes open are still, they still got, it's like they got a veil here, they can't see. But in verse 30, or 16 it is, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, now that's from the heart, isn't it? I really, Lord, open my eyes. God, I can't see it. I don't know how to see it. I don't trust my own judgment. Show me. If you do that from your heart, God will meet you. All right? Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are what? Are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Do you see how that ties in with what we've been saying? I'm going to have my eyes on Him. I'm going to have to say, Lord, open my eyes to see the truth and see Your Word. But when I do that, You're going to be shining in here in a way that it doesn't just leave me like I was. It begins to change me. Now, sometimes we even run into situations where we don't want to change. Well, I need the Lord. That's when I need to say, Lord, You promised to work in me to will and to do. Go for it, Lord. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. Don't ever give in to me, like that missionary lady prayed. But what a picture it is of God's purpose of literally, we need God's Spirit to come into our, to give light for the need that we have upon the need, and to help us to reach out to Him and say, God, I need that grace in which I'm standing. I need help with this thing. Change me, Lord. Do whatever it takes, because I know where this is headed, and I'm more than okay with it. I'm excited to go Your way. And Lord, whatever it costs, it's worth it all to stand there and be with Him. Is it worth everything? Is there anything this world has for you that's more important to you, and you're not really willing to let that go? I'll tell you, you better let it go. Everything that's part of this world is going to be burned up and judged. But I'll tell you, we're going to stand there in that day, and we're going to look to Him and say, God, look what I was, and look what You have made me. Oh, God, thank You. Thank You for whatever it took to get me here. Lord, I worship You today. I praise You. I praise You for what Jesus did. I praise You for what He was willing to do, to go to that cross and then come out of that tomb and then share His life with me so I could become a new person and have a real hope. Thank God. So I don't want this to be a pep rally, because I think we can get to the point where that's what we think we need. We've got to jack up our emotions and then, okay, we're all right. I just want to have the quiet confidence, Lord, if I'm going to even stay in this place for a while, because I need to be there, I just want to still look to You and have confidence and keep going. Because that's what perseverance does. It says, well, I don't like what's happening. It's difficult, but I know where I'm going, and I'm going to take the next step, and I'm going to look to You. And I'm just going to trust in You. So I needed this. Maybe there's nobody else here. Everybody here is just soaring over the mountains. But I've had one of those weeks, too, where I know the Lord, like I say, He took me to a place where I was just all geared up. And then He reminded me where I'm really at and how much I need Him. He didn't do it to discourage me. He did it to help me to be honest and just look to Him and say, oh, God, keep on working. Thank You for where You're taking me. I believe in it. I believe in You, and I believe I'm right where I need to be. But help me just to take the next step and not get mad at You and upset and self-pitying and all those natural things, but just to trust in You, because that's what faith does. Faith takes us beyond the circumstances that it takes to get us there, and it brings us to a place where we can be thankful and rest and trust and know that we're in His hands and we're safe. To Him be the glory. Praise God. Praise God.
Just had a quick thought I wanted to share that came to me several times, you know, as Phil was speaking. I was, something somebody experienced back many years ago. You know, there was a time when one of the ways the Lord was communicating truth to a lot through the church here was to give people sort of visions or sort of mental pictures of things that were illustrations of truth. And in one of these occasions, what the person saw, the kind of the image they had was that there were these three people that were kneeling in prayer. And there was, you know, they were all three kneeling in prayer, and Jesus was there with them. And the first person, as they were praying, he kind of got down on one knee beside him and put his arm around him and was talking to him and encouraging him and really speaking to him as they were praying. And then after a while, he got up, and as he went by the next person, he just sort of, you know, put his hand on him as he went by. And then as he went on by, the third person, the final person there, he just walked right on by him, didn't say or do anything to him. And of course, you know, looking on to that, you might interpret that as being, wow, that first person needs to really engage with God. You know, they're really special to him. God's really speaking to him. And, you know, they're really, you know, really kind of up here. And that last person, well, God didn't even kind of really hear their prayer or pay attention to it. But what the person who was seeing this came to realize is it was actually the opposite, is that first person, they were in kind of a weak and kind of an immature place. There was a lot of immaturity there, and they needed all of that affirmation. They needed that feeling, that sense of his presence, and they needed to be strengthened in that way. Whereas the next person, they were a little bit stronger, a little bit more stable, and just that touch was enough to kind of keep them going. You know, we sang that song this morning, Lord, I need a brand new touch. Just that touch, and it was enough. But that third person, There was a stability there. There was a maturity that God had developed to where they were there in their heart. It was like, Lord, I know you're here. I don't need the feedback. I know you're here in my prayer. I know you're here with me. And I don't even have to have that kind of affirmation, that kind of feedback in order to be confident of that. And that's why he was able to just walk right by. Not that he didn't care, just that he knew where they were at. They were okay where they were at, and they were looking to him, and he was hearing their prayer. So I just thought that was an interesting picture, because that is so much what we're geared to, is we need the, you know, something, some kind of feedback. And when it's not there, or when the opposite of what we think was the opposite of that is coming, it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? But I thank the Lord for this morning. I believe he's wanting to get us to that stable place where, feel what we may, circumstances be what they may, there's just that quiet confidence, like the scripture talks about, being rooted and grounded in Christ, like a plant who's firmly rooted in and the storm can't shake. I believe that's what he wants to give us, is just that confidence to know that he is there, he hears us, and he's with us. I just thank him for that this morning. Praise God.
I'll just get up here and reiterate and emphasize what a number of people said. You know, I'm just so thankful for the Lord's grace to reveal this in us. But I can so often get here on Sunday and I can be like, I just hear exactly what I need to hear and just think that's all I need to get through the week. And, you know, I don't even know how to express my thoughts here, but really what I need is I need the Lord. I need your prayers too. You know, I need everybody's prayers. And I get through the week and it's like I forget. You know, I get at some point in the week, I forget what's been said. And so it's not that we don't know, and it's not that nothing registers, but we need constant, continual reminding. You know, we need that constant connection to the Lord so that it can outflow through us too. But yeah, I appreciated, you know, JP, your confession that you had a rough week there. And my week wasn't the best week either. But, you know, I don't want to have the sense of pride to where I can't confess that, where I feel like I need to be strong for the people around me, people who know that I'm Christian, and people that need to see an example of, you know, what I think a Christian's supposed to be, everything a Christian's supposed to be. And really, it's supposed to be just God living in our weakness and that strength being made perfected in our weakness. And so, Lord help me, you know, that's probably the biggest sin that he's been revealing in me is that pride, that sense of, you know, I read in a book that said, pride projects strength because it is afraid, but true strength projects humility because it is secure. And that's what I've really been taking and trying to let the Lord not over-evaluate myself to where I'm at a point to a critical self-condemnation. I fall to that a lot too, and that's where I need prayer too. But, you know, Lord, help me recognize whenever I'm doing this. And anyway, Lord, just give us true strength and help us to practice faith where we need to practice it and build up those faith muscles. I really appreciate this message this morning. I need it every Sunday, but I don't want to just rely on Sunday. You know, last week I had another... It was actually Monday of last week. I immediately fell back into the valley, you know, and I was like, all right, well, just going to push on through to I'm sorry, it wasn't last week. It was the weekend, the week after I had drill last. But I was like, all right, I'm just going to – my initial thought was just push through to Sunday, endure, you know, just make it through, and you'll get what you need there. But, you know, God, it's like God spoke to me, and he said, why wait till Sunday to be fed? And, you know, why wait? I live in you. And I requested a choir song this morning. We didn't sing it, and I'm thankful we didn't. I don't think it flowed, but it was, he didn't bring us this far to leave us. One of the lines in it says he didn't build his home on us to move away. And once he's established that, once he's given us this Holy Spirit, he doesn't leave us. He doesn't move away. He lives within us. He's not somewhere far off and wherever else, you know. He lives in us. And that's just the encouragement that I've had this week, and I'm very thankful for that. Y'all pray for me. I really appreciate the prayers.
Thank you, Lord, for this morning. You know, it seems like the whole service, from the songs to the service, just it's been about our journey. It's been about the path that God leads us on here. I thought about, what's that? What is that? The psalm says, I guess it's Psalm 23, he leads us in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. You know, we're, like JP started out there with, we have a purpose. We're on a mission. We have a goal, and that goal is to be made more like him and ultimately unified with him. No more breach, no more flesh in between to contend with. So, you know, I told everybody Wednesday night at the service, I kind of joked around. I don't know if everybody else thought it was a joke, but we just assumed that we were doing communion again this week because of the meal. And so I joked, I said, we've turned it into a form again. And that was meant to be a joke, not hopefully didn't offend anybody. But I do take it seriously. You know, I don't know that I've necessarily been, I don't know how I ended up doing this, honestly. But I want to take it seriously because the Lord told us to do this in remembrance of him. But I also want it to be fresh in whatever way possible. You know, I was sitting there and looking at the scriptures or reading over it, and of course I find myself trying to come up with something, a new twist or something new, and I don't want to do that either. I just want to, the Lord can give us contentment in doing the same thing over and over, just to be honest. That's something our flesh doesn't really like. We want something new a lot of times. We want something, I don't know, we're different. We want something to never change because it aggravates us. But we want something new because we're always bored with it. We're just discontent naturally, aren't we? I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but that's something I've noticed. So anyhow, I did want to open it up. If anybody has anything this morning, a scripture, just a quick thought. It doesn't have to come from here that pertains to this service or the communion. Feel free to give it out. Steve, you got something, brother?
Praise God. I appreciate the service. You know, we never get away from the fact that we just need the Lord. And the one thing that has been made real to me about us observing communion more often is we never get to the place where we don't need Jesus. And when we remember him, we remember what he did for us, but we also remember that he's there for us now. And so many people this morning, several, I guess just about everybody alluded to this, the kind of week they had. I told somebody this morning I had 3 weeks of something, physical, spiritual challenges left and right. And honestly, you know what? I didn't get an A+ on my report card. I didn't. My wife, she can vouch for that. She told me one day, she said, you know, it would pay that when we're going through things that we could get our eyes back on the Lord. I said, thank you, honey. You're right. And I meant it. I mean, you know, hey, you are right. And sometimes we get in such a low place, we find the fact that we don't have the strength we need. Has anybody here ever got so weak and so down that just like, God, I know what to do, but I don't have the strength to do it? And when different ones this morning were talking about the week that they had or what they were going through and this journey, I had, seriously, that's what I think Addison just alluded to, he appreciated JP saying that. You know, it is good when we can say, look, I fell flat on my face, or I really see my need here. And it, but it also, because it invariably, it points back to Jesus, right? And that's why it's an encouragement, not because somebody fell down, but it's just the author and the finisher of our faith is Jesus Christ. And I had been going through several things, honestly, and I told Danny down that this morning. First of all, if I go to pray, I don't have my phone. That's one place I don't take my phone. But I was still in my pocket, but I was just talking to the Lord and really just confessing my need of Him. Do y'all have to confess your need? Lord, I need you. When we partake of communion, do you know we're actually partaking of Christ? We need Christ, and we need Christ in our everyday life. But in my confession, even in my failure, I was telling the Lord, I need you desperately. And anyway, I'm going to read this. I remembered it. I couldn't remember which psalm it was. I said, is it 30? Is it 130? I couldn't remember because I can't remember where all the scriptures are. But it kept coming back to me. And it came back to me this morning when people were reading things this morning, and also the thrust of this service, and also the fact that we're getting ready to partake of communion. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need you. I don't even know how to tell you I need you. And I remember this psalm, and this is Psalms 130, just 7 verses. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Do you have to ask for mercy? We do. And you think, well, the guy's really struggling here. Is he struggling with, like it's been brought out, his own self? I read the next verse. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? Could you? Mm-mm. But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. We come to Him for the grace and the strength we need. We also have to, and honestly, at times we should have to come to Him for forgiveness. Lord, help me. This psalmist was saying, Lord, hear me. And, you know, but anyway, this is what he says. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. I mean, he's from the depths of his soul, he is crying out to God. Is that what he's doing? God, help me. Jesus, I tell you what, he's such a Savior and he's so wonderful. But a lot of times we have to get to that point before we taste the sweetness of who he really is. I'm talking low, low. I really need you, God. This is where this psalmist was at. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, but in his word I put my hope. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your promise. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman waiting for the morning. More than a watchman waiting for the morning. The first part of the psalm, he's overwhelmed. It's like he's under the water. Now he's in darkness. But he's still looking to God, right? This is the verse that just blessed me so much. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. This is a great Savior. For Him to be able to look at you and me, excuse me, and our struggles, and still love us and say, I'm going to still help you. That's the kind of Jesus we serve. For with Him is, and with Him is full redemption. He paid the full price, and even what you're struggling with today, yourself and the guy you're looking in the mirror, or that girl, with Him is full redemption. And when we partake of communion, we're remembering this. Jesus has what we need, and He is who we need. We are partaking of Jesus. Now, it's symbolic, but there's a real, that's why the Lord told us to do this until He returned. Our hope is going to always be in Him, right? He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Is that a wonderful Savior? Despite what we see when we look in the mirror, we need to look up higher than the mirror. It's Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, His forgiveness. He's such a good, good, wonderful Savior, isn't He? He really is. With Him is unfailing love. Thank you, Lord, for your full redemption, and thank you for this service. Amen.